This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
All right, nice to have you with us. Monday. We start a new week. It is the warm-up show. You've got Boomer and Gio coming up in just a little while. 6 o'clock, the guys are here and fired up and ready to rock.
I found a series on Netflix, Jerry. It's a reality series. It's called Homicide New York.
Okay.
And it's...
About Bruce?
No. It's about murders in New York City.
Yeah.
Where they have these people who are now retired. They look back on some cases. And one of the main guys on there is a guy who's been in our studio many times.
Who's that?
Bill McNeely. If you saw him, you would know him. He's been here a few times.
Okay.
I forget for what reasons he came in, but when the NYPD came in a number of times, he's one of the guys, retired officer, detective,
that's involved in it. That's awesome. Very cool.
What the thing that really stood out to me watching this thing? I feel like people just get murdered in New York every day. Like, and I kind of get numb to it. Like, when you hear on the news, oh, someone was murdered on the subway.
It desensitized to it.
Yeah. A lot of these cops that see it every day are not desensitized to it. And they're like very caring for the families of the victims.
Because it's very personal to them, I'm sure. I've always wondered how when you get, you know, we always talk about this is work. And this, as I said with Boomer on Thursday or Friday, whatever it was, like this to me, this isn't work. This is a commitment to be here. We've got to wake up. But what we do is not work. And you think about guys that take their lives into their hands every day they leave the house. I mean, yeah, all right, we all do when we get in the car. But
you come to New York, we're all taking our lives into our hands,
when
Jerry.
You're signing your life away for a job, like being a cop in New York City, man, and then to see what they see on a daily or weekly basis, I don't know how you don't go home with that stuff.
There's one episode where there's a missing cleaning woman from a building in New York. And, like, the cops are, like, really, like, concerned.
Mm-hmm.
And in my head, I'd be like, isn't there a million missing cleaning ladies in New York?
Yeah, but they start to, I would think, as they start to do the research and investigate, you start to almost know the person.
Yeah, and then they get close with the families. Yeah, man, what a difficult. What a job that is.
Very difficult. But you're right, so desensitized to it because of how much of it we hear about.
Yeah.
Awful.
But they don't appear to be desensitized, which was very strange. These cops that have been in the business for, you know, to the point now they're retired.
Yeah.
So they have a whole career.
Well, for us, all we're doing is hearing it.
Yeah.
We're not living it, and we're not getting to know anybody.
Man, I want to be a cop, Jerry. I want to fight crime.
Go ahead, go. You go join the police academy.
I'm afraid.
At the ripe age of 54.
I'm afraid, Jerry.
Well, then you can't be a cop.
No, but I like the idea of, like, man, I would love to fight crime.
Mm-hmm.
Just all these punks
out there. Understand.
You know what I mean?
But the being afraid part kind of takes you away from that. Yeah.
That does take me away
from
it.
That eliminates you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Can't be afraid.
It completely eliminates me.
Yeah.
March Madness, Jerry. So there are a couple things went on here.
March Madness.
Our friend down the hallway, Andrew Perloff, who works on the Maggie and Perloff show.
What did he do?
He thumbed out a tweet that now has 17 million views.
What? 17 million?
That's correct.
What the hell did he write?
So there was in the women's game, Jerry.
Which I have not seen one second of.
Caitlin Clark, whoever she was playing against.
All I know is I saw the headline that her dad told her to stop complaining.
Oh, that was great.
That's all I saw.
That was great. Well, anyway, in the game from over the weekend, a woman on the opposing team came across and looked like threw a left hook.
Like a haymaker?
Like a haymaker at her.
Okay.
And Andrew Perloff sent a video out and tweeted, they called this an intentional foul, 2 free throws in possession. A 2-year-old could see this wasn't intentional. So he got just lambasted because it looks like she's throwing a left haymaker.
Mm-hmm. I gotta see this.
But
I've not
got
seen this.
17 million views out of it, Jerry.
You make any money off those 17 million views?
He did not.
Okay.
And then he tried to milk it. I see he was tweeting more about the thing later on.
Well, that's like you. Dig deep. Now you're gonna dig in. And now we're going the other way now.
But he's smart. He tweeted about it and got 373,000 views. Tweeted about it again, got another 104,000 views on his take.
Okay.
So he was like, let me dig in here.
Good for Perloff.
Yeah.
That's great.
He went viral, Jerry, and went viral for something that can't get him fired, which is the best way to go viral.
I didn't even see this. That's amazing.
Yeah, I saw it over the weekend.
I can't wait to see when the ratings come out, just from the standpoint of... Caitlin Clark has, I believe, elevated women's college basketball to levels we've never seen before. So much so that Gus Johnson has done a good handful of Iowa women's basketball games in prime time on Fox. And all we heard about was, how popular the sport is now. And it certainly is more popular than ever. I'm not saying it's not. But I also feel like right now it's lost because the men are playing. Now, I don't know. Maybe the ratings will be great for it, but... I didn't even know where they were, where the games were.
Are we just interested in Caitlin Clark, or are we interested
That's my contention, yeah. Is that she is going to elevate. She's like this. I mean, we've said this a million times. She's like the Steph Curry of basketball right now, where she's fun to watch, dynamic, fun personality, and she's interesting. And if I watch it, like, that's the only women's college basketball game I'll turn on because I'm not a fan of it otherwise. Nothing wrong with it, but I just don't watch it. And she's leaving for the WNBA next year. You'll find out, A, between the tournament going on as the men are playing, and B, next year when she leaves, where are the ratings when she's now playing professionally?
You're right. The other video, the thing that went out there is she was complaining to the refs, and you saw her father in the stands yelling at her to shut up.
Yeah, which is awesome.
Stop complaining.
That is fantastic.
Yeah. Instead of helping and complaining with her to the refs, he was like, zip it and just play some ball.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
That is pretty good.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live. Only on Netflix.
What else do I have here, Jerry? Oh, this is going around as well. ESPN, they had a segment with betting analyst Erin Dolan.
All right, so I saw this. I don't understand it. Explain this to me.
All of a sudden, hot chicks are betting analysts?
All of a sudden? Have you not been paying attention for the last 2 years?
I guess I haven't. Like, every time I see a beautiful woman on TV, I'm like, what does she do? Oh, betting analyst. Oh, what?
They've been all over the place. Come on now.
That's just weird. All of a sudden, out of nowhere, beautiful women are betting analysts?
Right, but they're gambling, sports gambling experts.
Well, she was doing a segment with Rhys Davis, Jerry.
Uh-huh.
And she said that you should bet the under... by Northwestern. The under was a 60.5.
Okay.
And Rhys Davis said, you know what? Some would call this wagering, gambling. I think the way you've sold this, I think what it is a risk-free investment.
So what's wrong with that?
People got upset with that he was telling people that there was no risk in making this bet. So they were not
happy.
But
you got to listen to his first couple of words. With the way you've sold this, meaning you presented a great case and you've changed my mind. All right, risk-free, whatever. But if you listen to the whole thing,
That's the controversy that he made wagering on sports a sure thing.
Okay.
By the way.
Well, you're an idiot if you think anything's a sure thing, really. Get your head out of your ass.
By the way, I Googled this morning. They only scored 58, so she was correct.
Wow. I'll tell you what, though. You might have been holding your breath there at the end.
Well, she actually was interesting is she called it a sweating game or whatever they... She said, you're going to be sweating this one out, but it will be under 60.5.
And she got it.
So I guess hot chicks are betting experts.
I guess they are. I don't know what the numbers said, but good for her.
She got that one correct, Jerry.
Yeah, I would say so. By 2.5 points.
Yeah. Some fans of March Madness, Jerry, were not happy that CBS broke in with a special report about Kate Middleton's cancer diagnosis.
Did they miss a basket?
They didn't.
Who cares?
They didn't miss a single
All they did
thing.
Was take commercials that we don't want to watch off.
Correct.
What difference does it make?
That's correct. They did miss no action, Jerry.
Oh, yeah.
It was more people. You know, I went and I looked at the reaction after I saw the article. I was like, let me see what people were. It was more like sort of tongue-in-cheek, sort of like March Madness basketball fans don't care about royal family news.
Well, I agree with that. I said that last week.
Yeah.
Like, I think I'm part of that audience, and I hope she's okay. I saw the story over the weekend. But don't give a crap. I'm just not interested. You live your life. I know they live it publicly. I'm not interested in it. And I don't think most of our audience isn't. I think most people are.
Yeah.
But I don't think most sports fans are.
Right.
I don't think, anyway.
Me and my friends, we used to go get a couple beers, Jerry, and we'd sit around and we'd talk about, like, what celebrity news was worthy enough to break into programming.
Okay.
We used to try to think of that. Like,
oh, yeah, it's interesting.
You know what I mean? Like,
what kind of programming, though, were you talking about? Like, anything?
No, like a popular, this was back in the day when sitcoms were popular and people watched them. Like,
so Cheers is on Thursday night back in the day.
Yeah. Who would have to have a bad accident or pass that would get a breaking news into Cheers?
First of all, it's got to be an A-list celebrity, if not the president of the United States, of course. It would have to be a big name.
Like Brad Pitt. Would they break in for that? Like Brad Pitt passes away. Are we breaking in the Cheers Thursday night back in the day?
I don't know.
Yeah.
That's a... You might put... A crawl.
Right. We used to have different levels. We'd say, what about a crawl?
On, yeah.
Would you get a crawl?
And I think what you would do is direct them to your sister station where there's coverage.
Oh, okay.
I don't know, though, like Seinfeld back in the day. Would you break into Seinfeld for something like that or Friends?
Right.
I don't know. But you might put a crawl on that would say go to NBCNews.com or something now for live coverage.
Yes.
That's an interesting
one. The break-in's a tough one.
That is a tough one.
Break-in's got to be... A-lister or big-time political person.
Think about 94 with the OJ chase.
Yes.
That was a pretty big deal.
That was a big deal.
And that was, I mean, NBA conference finals, or was that the NBA finals? Was that Knicks Rockets, Eddie? Or was it the comp trying to think? It was Knicks Rockets, so it was NBA finals, not the Eastern Conference finals. Yeah, so I would think that's what you probably, How about that?
Now, a lot of people were interested in what was going on with Kate Middleton because people had thought, well, we haven't seen her. What's going on? Now you know.
Now you know.
Cancer diagnosis.
Yeah.
And though
I hope she's okay.
Me too.
What can I say? How about Yale beating Auburn? Which was phenomenal, by the way.
You know, there was an interesting thing with Yale also, Jerry. There, I guess, what was it? It was, the Idaho Marching Band. Yale's marching band couldn't make the trip.
Because they were in Spokane.
They were in Spokane?
Yeah.
So the Idaho kids put on Yale T-shirts, got the Yale marching sheet music, and showed up.
Is that true?
And cheered on Yale.
You know, it's funny. I watched all of that game Friday against Auburn. I didn't get to see last night because it was too late. But I watched Friday when I was texting Sal because obviously, well, not obviously, you have no idea who their head coach is. But James,
you don't know that, Jerry.
James Jones. Does that ring a bell? Why would James Jones be relevant to me and Sal?
Because he must have been on Columbia's staff at some point.
No, but his brother Joe Jones was the head coach at Columbia from like two, I forget exactly what years, but I was with him for about 4 or 5 years there, and that's his brother. And so every year Columbia would play Yale. It was Jones versus Jones, two of the nicest people in the world. So I root for them because I like James Jones. And so does Sal. So I was texting him during that game as they held off Auburn. So that was pretty cool. But all watching that game, I wasn't aware of that Idaho story.
Yeah,
that is cool.
That is cool.
That is very cool. And then what was the other one? The James Madison student section was ridiculous. I know they lost yesterday, but their win the other day, the student section was A, huge, and B, like into it. It was pretty cool. A couple of cool things from it.
James Jones is a great name.
James Jones.
Oh, man. They'd be like, if I was somewhere there, what is your name? James Jones.
James
man,
Jones.
Man, that is like authority.
He did have, before as we go to break, here was James Jones talking about losing.
Basketball gives you life lessons. And, you know, the lesson that we learned today, that everything's not going to be sunshines and roses for you. You have to fight through. And, you know, you're going to have a sandwich that you don't want to eat sometimes. And we had to eat the sandwich.
We're eating the sandwich.
Yeah, sometimes you don't get the pick from the menu.
The crap sandwich.
You got to get the crap sandwich whether you wanted it or not.
All right, quick break. When we come back, we got a lot more to do. We'll get you Boomer and Gio at 6 on the Fan.